Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of The Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
And my name's James, aka FPL Drug.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good.
Another good weekend of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, really enjoyed it. My Sky team really definitely enjoyed it, one of them more than the other. But yeah, great weekend of football.
Yeah, we'll touch on that because I think we both did pretty well with one of our teams on Sky. And obviously, given the recent lockdown news, I think it's good that we're still going to have the football. Keeps us going.
Yeah, certainly does. tough time for most people.
Agreed, yeah. Right, well, let's get cracking then. We've got 10 full fixtures to talk about and we'll start with Wolves 2, Crystal Palace 0.
Yeah, well, the real surprise from this one was obviously the left-back selection, Aidan Nouri. Obviously came in, did a very good job, scored. Not many people obviously had him in their teams. You obviously, Marcel was a doubt, so then that's how he got picked. Obviously, with size dropping to the bench, which obviously wasn't good for many owners. I myself am on Kilman, so I was grateful he started. Looks like he's more nailed than we may have thought at first. I was happy with that. And I think a strong, resolute performance from Wolves, I think. They're actually quite impressing me how solid they are offensively.
Yeah, I think Wolves have always been pretty good defensively, haven't they? I mean, I've got Patricio and Sky for that very reason. And we are starting to see these two. Hopefully, Aidan Nouri becomes an option because apparently had a very good performance. And then obviously we've got Kilman, who's a cheap asset. He's there. And then Semedo, I believe, had a really good game as well. So
Yeah, worth mentioning Semedo. I was looking at him thinking, maybe I should have gone Semedo. As he does look pretty decent going forward. The returns just haven't happened yet. But I think he will get assists. Obviously, the returns in terms of clean sheets have been happening. But the attacking returns, I think, are around the corner.
Yeah, and obviously Jimenez blanked this week, but Podence got his goal and continues to sit in my team for that very reason. I've just got other fires to put out and I keep playing Podence and he'll occasionally get a return. And then obviously Neto got the assist. So between that front three, they're getting the business done. But like we've always said, none of them I don't think will ever go off. You know, they'll never get two or three goals. It'll always be one return for one return for the other kind of thing, won't it?
Yeah, no, agreed. I was quite happy to see Podence in your team until obviously he actually showed up.
agreed. And then obviously we saw Palace. They had the penalty that was then ruled out for VAR. Milivojevic seemed a bit displeased. He had the ball in his hand. And then he goes and gets a red card later in the game anyway.
Which is great news for us Zaha owners because now Zaha should be back on pens. Clearly, he wasn't going to be for that pen. So my heart sank a little bit. But inevitably, Milivojevic is a great set-piece taker, free kicks, pens. But yeah, he won't be available for the next three. So
now there you go. So yeah, if you've got Zaha, definitely worth holding. I mean, fixture-wise, I think it looks okay for Palace for the next four. They've got Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle, West Brom. So yeah, wouldn't be moving off of Zaha just yet.
No, I'm holding.
Right, on to the Saturday fixtures then. And Sheffield United 0, Man City 1. Man City came out the traps very quickly in this game, I thought. And at one point, I genuinely thought it was going to be a 3-4-0 City. You know, they just looked so rampant going forward. They just struggled to finish their chances, which, you know, there's no Aguero, there's no Jesus. At the moment, I think they're relying on, you know, Sterling. They've obviously got Mahrez in there, and then they brought the new chap in. So it's, I think it's still tricky for Pep to try and suss out that front three.
Yeah, I think they're having real problems there going forward in the absence of like Sergio and Jesus. It's going to take time for them to kind of get a strategy together, really, I think. It's just not quite working as you'd like with Sterling, I think.
No,
I would move away from Sterling in my FPL team, personally.
No, yeah. If you've got Sterling at the moment, I guess it's tricky because obviously most people will want to move on to De Bruyne. But I'm not sure if the upcoming fixtures are really the ones that you should be moving on to De Bruyne. Like, obviously, you've got Liverpool, Tottenham. I think it's risky because you don't know which one's going to go off. So, you know, Sterling could feasibly score in those, and then De Bruyne might be shut out of the games. You know, midfield-wise, we know how good Liverpool can be, especially if Thiago and Henderson are back. So that's the tricky bit there. With City, I think they've got a good swing in fixtures. Game week 10, I think, is when it turns. And we'll probably look to maybe target them asset-wise then. But for now, defensively, they look quite good. You know, obviously, they've got Diaz and Laporte. If they can continue that partnership, I think that's something Pep's been looking to try and achieve over the last few years with very infrequent kind of results, really. Obviously, he's rotated a lot, brought in Ake as well, but Stones hasn't really done very well, and they've lost a few now. So maybe we might see that partnership develop, and then Man City could become pretty good defensive options. I've obviously got Diaz and Sky for that very reason. So
That's a good point, because we automatically sort of disregard Man City defenders for clean sheets. It's not really something that you think of. You just think, which fullback am I going to get? Cancelo, Walker.
Yep.
But yeah, if they could start to lay down some clean sheets, then you're going to have to look at Diaz and Laporte as an option.
Yeah, well, you know, both of them. Laporte took about two bonus points, obviously, this week. Diaz was just behind. And I mean, if they're keeping clean sheets, they're going to be two solid assets there. And I think they will rake in the bonus, providing Man City don't score two or three. And yeah,
he's a great threat from corners as well, Laporte.
Very much so.
It's not just the clean sheets with him.
No, exactly. And Sheffield United, on the other hand, I think continuing to struggle, really, aren't they? Ramsdale this time made seven saves. Other than that, I don't really think they had a lot. You know, they had the odd chance. I think there was a couple of times they looked to maybe try and get in behind. But I'm worried about Sheffield United this season.
Yeah, I think it was an impressive performance from Ramsdale. I think had the game finished 0-0, he'd have been man of the match.
Yeah, easily.
I think, he was making some fantastic saves, which is, I guess, something for them to cling to. I mean, 1-0 against City isn't a bad scoreline, but I think that's mainly due down to Ramsdale. I reckon they'll do okay, to be honest. I think you can't really judge them against City and Liverpool. I think they played well against Liverpool. I think they're better at Liverpool, actually, arguably.
Yeah, I think they were.
So if they can replicate that performance against Liverpool, against the lesser teams in the league, then I think they'll be okay.
They just need to find that solution up top, really. Obviously, they've brought in Brewster. I think he's taken a little bit of time to be bedded in. But they're not losing by a lot. You know, they're losing by the odd goal every game. All they need to do, I think, is, you know, it's easier said than done, but they just need to score, because they're losing games 1-0 or 2-1. And they're games where they're actually playing well, defensively quite astute, but they're not taking the chances.
They need a better finisher, really. I think if you've got like a Neil Mopay at Sheffield United up top, I think they're not where they are. I think they'd be winning games and drawing games that they'd normally be losing. I think McGoldrick, Sharp, McBurney, Brewster, it doesn't really cut it for me, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Brewster develop. You know, obviously he's only been there a couple of games. McBurney's a bit of a twat, isn't he? God. You see, I think it was in the first minute or two, he just ran straight into Diaz to let him know he was there.
They were like, oh, welcome to Bramall Lane, weren't they, in the commentary?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, they've got the fight there. You know, it's obvious. But, they just need to maybe try and grind out a couple of results and maybe their form will turn.
Yeah, I think.
Let's move on then. So Burnley 0, Chelsea 3. And obviously we had the initial news that Werner surprisingly wasn't in the starting lineup. And then Pulisic seemed to have picked up an injury in the warm-up. How long for, we're not sure, because there's already rumours that he's back in training. So that's going to be a bit of a bollock for people that have already taken him out. But then, Werner came back in. And then we saw Ziyech, Werner and Zouma, who you've obviously done very well with in Sky this week, get the three goals. And I think Chelsea looked really good. Burnley, on the other hand, looked dreadful.
obviously very impressed with Zuma for my Sky team, who I brought in. I think I brought him in with, yeah, clean sheets, but he's actually quite a good threat going forward, mainly from corners. He scored 4 last season and he's already scored 3 this season.
He's doing well.
I think he could score more because he's such a, like, that header, like, he just completely bossed it. That was his from the moment that corner was taken. I think, and he also, I've seen him score a few tap-ins, you know, where it just sort of bounces around the box and he just stab it in. Like, he's not just the headers from corners as well. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be bringing Zuma in. There's a lot of talk out of nowhere for Zuma. Like, it's been Chilwell this, Chilwell that. But now, since Zuma scored, people have seen his stats and they're like, okay.
And I think with the Champions League games, obviously, that Chelsea have got at the moment, we're seeing a bit of rotation. But Zuma seems to be the most consistent one at the moment. I know there's talk that Rudiger has had talks with Lampard and he's going to be integrated back into the squad. So how that affects him, you know, going forward, I'm not sure. But at the moment, Zuma's probably the one you want to be on because the other ones are all at risk. We don't know whether they'll be rested, you know, midweek or whether they'll be rested on Saturday. So
I think Zuma is a stalwart for the team. I think they'll be rotating Thiago Silva and Rudiger probably, maybe playing Thiago Silva in the Champions League and Rudiger in the Premier League or the other way around.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I was really impressed with Ziyech this week. Obviously, he's taken a while to bed himself in, and I think he came with a bit of an injury anyway and lack of match fitness. So we didn't see him start, you know, for the first 3 or 4 games. But this time round, yeah, he looked so sharp. Some of the passes he was making, obviously, he got his goal and an assist in this game. And for me, I think if the choice was between, say, him, Pulisic or Havertz, at the moment, I'd be edging towards Ziyech.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. I'm a bit reluctant with Pulisic now with the injury. And anyway, he wasn't really a... Well, he hadn't really had a chance, really. But but it's very frustrating now. I feel a bit stung. I don't really want to go back to Pulisic now, even if he is confirmed fit.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. And obviously, he's always had that recently. Obviously, last season and already this season, his hamstring, you know, he picks up the odd knock and it's frustrating because he'll then miss out in 2-3 games. But just looking at price-wise, Ziyech is only 8 million and at the moment is only owned by 5% of the game. So perhaps a good differential to get as well going into Sheffield United, Newcastle, Tottenham and then Leeds. So it's not a bad 4 fixtures to attack.
Yeah, that's a great shout. I think he's the cheapest of the three and probably the best option as it stands out of the three. Worth a punt if you're a little bit behind in your mini leagues, I think, especially with those fixtures.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout. As for Burnley, I think very similar to what you said about Ramsdale. Without Pope in this game, Chelsea could have won by more. He made 6 saves in this game. And they didn't really offer anything else. I think from start to finish, Chelsea dominated Burnley. And again, it's another team that I'm a bit worried about. I know they've still got their defensive issues. They haven't, you know, got the 4 that they want fully fit and playing together at the moment. But something doesn't quite seem right. And I don't know whether it's going on behind the scenes. Obviously, we're hearing talks of a takeover for Burnley. And it's questionable who's taking that over at the moment. And Dyche has continuously just, you know, said things in the press and said things in interviews that he's not as happy as he wishes he was. So I am concerned about Burnley this season and it's not looked good so far.
No, I think they're a bit inconsistent. I think because they did like a real strong defensive display recently. You get your clean sheet points and then you're happy with them. But I think you're not expecting a clean sheet from Chelsea anyway. So I think when they get those easier fixtures, they're still not picking up the clean sheets, then you'd perhaps move off. But if you've got like a Charlie Taylor at 4.5, I'd still hold if you don't have to do the transfer. If you want to do transfers elsewhere, I'd hold for those easier fixtures where I think they'll still get clean sheets.
Yeah, I think if you've got him and you're happy with your bench, then yeah, he's worth keeping. Just looking at the fixtures, they've obviously got Brighton and Crystal Palace in the next 2. So, you know, that's potentially 2 to target. Then it gets tricky. They've got City, Everton, Arsenal, Villa, Wolves, Leeds is the next 6. It's tough times, I think, for Burnley. But even then, I don't think their fixtures really improve that much. They've maybe got the odd two, and then they got another run of three difficult fixtures. But like you said, you know, if you've got a Charlie Taylor, then hold. If you've got any of the others that are slightly more expensive, maybe time to look elsewhere.
Oh, definitely so for the more expensive ones. I mean, I took Charlie Taylor out of my wild card at 4.5 just because I didn't fancy him long term. And then I, for some reason, due to the Villa hype, put in Matty Target instead at 4.5, which I'm now regretting. I'm not too bothered. He can sit there for the moment, and I'll play him when I want to play him. I've not played him yet, I don't think. Or no, I might have played him once. Yeah, because I didn't play him against Saints, but yeah.
Just as well.
Yeah, very, very happy. That double up with Martinez would not have been worth good.
Right, let's move on then. So Liverpool 2, West Ham 1. And there was some both dubious decisions in this game. And I also thought West Ham were unlucky, really unlucky. So we saw Salah get his goal. A lot of us captained him, so that was a nice little return. But it took Liverpool a long time to open West Ham up. And so we saw Mane. We thought that he then got his rewards, but that was then ruled out for the challenge. I believe it was actually the challenge with Ogbonna, not actually the challenge with the keeper, because of, I think it's Ogbonna gets there first. That's why that was ruled out. And then you've got the issue of the offside decision that wasn't given, and I think, you know, rightly not given, but people are questioning as to whether Mane was, you know, interfering in play when Jota scored his goal. But I think by the letter of the law, I don't think he is.
No. No, I don't think he is to be honest. I think, obviously, yeah, Jota, people are now talking about as an option, despite the fact that he's pretty much on the bench every game. He's scoring when he comes off it.
He is, yeah. He's one hell of an impact sub. I mean,
yeah, he's had like 20 minutes in one of the games he scored, 15 in another.
He also had 10 minutes in the Arsenal game and scored.
Yeah, which is insane when you think about it. And he looks so sharp when he comes on. Like, if I was Klopp, I'd be thinking, should I perhaps be starting Jota, Mane and Salah as opposed to Firmino? I mean, Firmino admittedly does a lot of work that goes unnoticed. Which I may be forgetting in terms of just FPL analysis. But when he comes on, he looks great.
Yeah, no.
I think if he was to start, he'd be going in your team.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely something Liverpool have lacked in the last few years. Obviously, they've always had that front three, but then they've kind of been missing that someone to come off the bench and change things. And obviously, they tried it with Minamino. It doesn't seem to have worked. They brought in Shaqiri. Obviously, arguably, he was involved in the Jota goal. He got the assist. But again, I don't think the Shaqiri transfer itself has been what Liverpool wanted it to be. And maybe Jota is the one that you could solve the problems. And it might also mean that, you know, the likes of Mane, Salah, or Firmino can get a rest because they can then rely on Jota to at least, you know, start a game. So later on in the season, if they get further in the Champions League or like cup competitions, it might be something for us to look at and consider. But for now, I think he'll probably continue to be an impact sub, especially given when he's coming on for 20, 30 minutes and getting the returns he is, and he's attacking tired defences. I think that's the job that Klopp wants him to do at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's deploying him tactically perfectly in that sense. I guess that maybe that's what Nuno's trying to do with Traore. As frustrating as it is that he doesn't start him, as I'd like to put him in my team. But yeah, I think Liverpool did take a while to break down West Ham. West Ham were quite solid. I was thinking, am I going to have Souček sat on my bench here with another return? It didn't feel like they were going to score.
Could have been.
But obviously they kept pushing, and eventually they got the return they wanted. But whether it's deserved or not is another question.
Obviously, yeah.
A lot of talk around Salah.
And obviously Liverpool continues to be a pain in the arse defensively because they continue to make the one mistake that leads to a goal. Obviously, this time I think it was Gomez's header back that, you know, was a dreadful header. Fell to 4 hours and he just slots at home. And obviously they've got the issues with Van Dijk. He's not there. Matip's injured now. a lot of us have Arnold or Robertson, or some even have both, and it's becoming frustrating. And I think there's only so long we can continue to say, we hold them for their attack and returns, and we kind of, you know, get a clean sheet is a bit of a bonus, but we're not even seeing the attack and returns at the moment. And that's the tricky thing.
No, I've had enough, to be honest. It's absolute fucking bullshit. I'm expecting these free kicks to just go in with Alexander Arnold or an assist, but every cross isn't just not going for him at the moment. Yeah. And I think with City next, I'm like, if I don't take him out now, when am I going to take him out?
You know, I think that's the problem, because obviously they've got City next, but then they've got Leicester, and we saw exactly what he did against Leicester last season.
Gotcha.
So can you really take out Trent before Leicester? Like, and then they play Brighton, Wolves, Fulham, Tottenham, Palace, West Brom, Newcastle, Saints and Burnley. Come on. That's one hell of a run. So if we've held Trent now and we've taken his 0.1 obviously deduction, I think it's worth holding, because as frustrating as it is not getting those clean sheets, I really think the attack and returns will start to come.
I think they will as well, but I've had enough.
No, I mean, all well and good. You take him out, mate, because I'm chasing you. So
you're going to keep him.
If you want to get rid, get rid.
Are you keeping him?
Yeah, I'm keeping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Madness.
I think I just...
I thought you were going to take him out.
Yeah, I can't see myself taking him out. As much as I want to use those funds elsewhere, I'll kick myself if he then gets a goal or, you know, a couple of assists in the next few games and... suddenly, like, everybody's piling back on him again. So,
yeah, I think it hinges on, for me, the status of Danny Ings, because then I've got two free transfers. I can upgrade Ings, or I can keep or downgrade Trent and upgrade McGinn. The options are endless, really, with two.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we can touch on Danny Ings, because the next fixture is Aston Villa 3, Southampton 4.
Bit of a kind scoreline to Villa, to be honest. We absolutely ran the show. Obviously, birthday boy Prowsey with two beautiful free kicks. The second one even better than the first. What a free kick taker.
Oh, he's unbelievable. I mean, I think I've read a stat that he's now overtaken Letiz in terms of scoring from free kicks.
Does not surprise me. No. I feel confident that he's going to score every time he gets a free kick inside the sort of 30-yard box area.
We see it time and time again. I mean, you know, there was a few last season where he just puts it top bins every time. And you kind of, yeah, you feel so confident when he steps up. If he's even within that D, like, I think this, yeah, the second free kick that he took, watching it, a lot of people will think that's too close. But for Prowsey, you know, he can get it up and down so quickly. And
exactly, yeah, agree.
Exactly the same.
That's what makes it so much more impressive, like how close he was. Mm. So obviously FPL wise, he hadn't really returned for a good few games before that, and then bam, you've got two goals out of nowhere. So quite like Harvey Barnes, a bit of a frustrating asset to own, I think, for people that do own him, because it's going to be hard to play him when you're seeing him get a two, but then this can happen out of nowhere.
Well, exactly. And I mean, at his price, he's only for 5.9. So I think he's starting to hit a bit of form. I mean, if anybody, 4.5% of the game have him, probably a lot of dead teams. But I mean, he's got three goals and an assist in his last two games now. I definitely think he's growing into the position that Hasenhüttl wants him in. Now, obviously, he scored the free kicks. That's always going to be his primary asset. But I think he's getting forward a lot more now as well.
Yeah, I think he is more than he has done in the past. Like he just looks a better all-round player than he has been for
Agreed.
Previous seasons.
And we obviously saw, I was quite surprised by the lineup. Redmond obviously was then benched this week, and it saw Walcott play as well as Armstrong, whereas a lot of us were saying, oh, it's probably going to be one or the other. But yeah, Walcott was playing out in Redmond's slot. So we might see a bit of rotation between the three of them.
Yeah, we may do. I think that'd be good for the team, for fitness, with all, like, the condensed fixtures are going to be due to lockdown. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, agreed. And then obviously Vestergaard continues to be the huge presence that we all questioned at the start of the season, but just keeps performing, doesn't he?
He certainly does. He's using his height now. That's the sort of thing I expected when we signed him. He's like 6 foot, 400. He's got should be putting away more headers, and yeah, I'm glad he's starting to do that. He looks like a different player. I put him into Sky this week with a view to a clean sheet with potential returns, attacking returns, and he got the attacking returns. Didn't get the clean sheet, but I'm more than happy with that.
I think our overall defensive performance, particularly towards the end of the game, was frustrating, wasn't it? Because like you said, we were dominating, and then we go and concede three goals in the last 10, 12 minutes, which shouldn't be happening. Obviously, one was a pen, then Grealish's very late goal. But in the end, McCarthy had to make seven saves, whereas we had four shots on target, four goals. Villa had 10. So it kind of, you know, questions things there. And maybe, I know you said that it was maybe an unjust scoreline, and from the viewer, yeah, it probably is. But stats-wise, Villa were, you know, taking shots, and that was a concern for us that we conceded three so quickly after dominating such of the game.
Yeah, we started to fold like a pack of cards near the end. If it had the game been about 10 minutes longer, we'd probably lost 5-4.
We've done it before, haven't we? What was it, the infamous Leeds game?
3-0 up with about 15 minutes to go, and they end up winning 4-3. Yeah. One that Leeds fans always remember. I was there and had my head in my hands.
Yeah, and that's always been our issue defensively, and I still think we've got improvements to make. Whether we see maybe Salisu hopefully come in, because we've paid good money for him, and I know we signed him injured, but whether he maybe comes in alongside Vestergaard and Bednarek drops out, I'm not sure, to be honest. But we need to find a solution where we stop leaking goals and leaking them so quickly as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to bed in Salisu. Maybe in the FA Cup in the new year. I'm not sure. Maybe sooner if we... he could bring him in even next week if he was unhappy with how those last 15 minutes unfolded.
Yeah.
But I would expect for the time being it to continue to be Vestergaard and Bednarek.
Yeah, no, I think that would probably be the continued partnership until... he gets bedded in. And then whilst we're on Saints, obviously we had the Ings issue where everybody, whether it was on the still image or the slow-mo, it looked like, oh no, that's his knee. And we all know the injuries that Ingsy's had. Was it two cruciate ligament injuries in the last three seasons? It's not what we want. So when we all saw it, we had our heads in our hands. But thankfully, it sounds positive. And the scans, from what the club have come out and said, you know, haven't shown any ligament damage. Whether he plays Friday, I'm really not sure, because there must have been something there for him to have gone down and obviously feel the pain, whether it's an impact injury. I'll be very surprised to see him start against Newcastle. And I think if he doesn't, we'll definitely be missing something up top and then the cohesiveness kind of between our attack and lineup. But I'm just glad that it's not a long-standing injury, really.
Yeah, as am I. I think if he doesn't make Newcastle, I'm not going to be too concerned in terms of my FPL team. I love him as an asset, so I'll just be benching him if it looks like he should be back the following game.
Yeah, and break.
Exactly. So he's got a bit of extra recovery time there. So I love him as an FPL asset, so I'll be holding. I was expecting to have to take him out because I saw the game and I thought that's a serious knee injury there. I was expecting months and months, 3 months out, and here we are where it actually isn't as bad as we feared.
We might even see him Friday, but like I said, I'll be surprised. All right, Newcastle 2, Everton 1, and I think the biggest talking point from this game was the fact that Pickford was dropped.
Yeah, apparently due to mental health is what I heard.
Yeah, I think there's a few rumours going around. Obviously, he's had his issues after that Liverpool game. I believe he's had to get bodyguards in for him and his family, which is fucking terrible. Like, nobody should have to deal with that. Even, you know, the fact that football fans have such easy access, obviously through Twitter and stuff now, is one thing. But to then actively like threaten somebody and threaten their family is deplorable at the end of the day, and it shouldn't happen to anybody. So if that is the reason that, you know, he's struggling, and you know, one of the reasons why he's been taken out of the squad, then it needs to be looked at and it needs to be sorted. But I don't think Everton played particularly well. Obviously, they're missing Richarlison as well, which is a problem. And they also missed James Rodriguez this weekend. So for DCL to get his obligatory goal, you know, I think was good for us. But I think, yeah, they need those injuries to kind of come good, probably after the international break.
Oh, they certainly do. I think having one, they can get by, like, without one of Richarlison or Rodriguez. But having both out, I think then he's really kind of isolated and lacking that quality delivery that both of them provide. I think, yeah, when they come back into the fold, they'll be firing again. I wouldn't worry with DCL. People are talking about taking him out. Just he didn't impress for the majority of the game, but he still got his return at the end of the day. And you'd be mad to take him out based on the season he's had so far.
No, I wouldn't be taking him out. I know they've got Man United this weekend, but after the international break, they then play Fulham, Leeds and Burnley. So anybody that is looking at those fixtures and still taking him out deserve to be punished at the end of the day.
Yeah, certainly. Man United aren't what they were, like, defensively. They're not that. That's pretty shaky.
Yeah, and obviously for Newcastle, we saw a return of the Bournemouth partnership, Fraser assisting Wilson. And they got the points at the end of the day. I think Wilson continues to look sharp, has more points than Calvert-Lewin. And not many people are talking about Callum Wilson. He's only owned by 14% of the game, but he's already on 53 points.
Yeah, great asset. He was in my team. I wildcarded him out, probably to get DCL. I wouldn't mind getting him back. Had the Ings injury been more serious, I could have downgraded Ings and upgraded McGinn that way and still kept Trent. I think Wilson, if you're looking at someone in that price bracket, it makes complete sense to get him in.
Yeah, agreed.
He's having a very good season.
I'm not potentially looking at him in FPL, but I might be looking at him in Sky. I've got a Mopay. I'm not sure. I'd have to check. We can check when we come on to Sky. But I've got the issue of Mopay in my Sky team at the moment. And I think Wilson might be a good option. And then there are also rumours from people looking at, you know, fixtures and European fixtures that the Newcastle Crystal Palace game might be the only captaincy option on the Friday. You know, obviously we're waiting to see, and it's frustrating not getting fixtures from Sky at the moment. But yeah, in that game week 10, so it'll be game week 11 or 12, I think, for Sky. That game might be the one where you maybe need some Newcastle or Palace coverage. So I might look to bring him in. I'll have some thinking to do on that one. But yeah, I think Wilson is a bloody good option. Man United 0, Arsenal 1. Weird game, this one. Don't think Man United got going at all. I'm not a fan of seeing Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood, Rashford all in the same squad. I think the issue for me personally is Pogba. He was given the ball away so much during this game. Gave away the pen that obviously Arsenal, Aubameyang and slotted. And I think there's a real issue there. Ollie seems to be struggling to find the right formula to win games. Everybody thought, he solved it. You know, they smashed PSG. And then they come up against Arsenal at home and just didn't get going at all.
It's quite surprising, really, that based on that performance in the Champions League, yeah, you'd expect them to do a bit better. But I think, is Gabriel potentially an option for Arsenal in the in both FPL and Sky? Sky so. Particularly for his tiers. But even in FPL, I automatically discard Arsenal defenders. But based on this performance, maybe you'd want to look at Gabriel. He's got two bonus points. Bellerin as well, the assists as well, at 5 million. I think if you're not going Zuma, I think Bellerin's a good option as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Bellerin is probably the one I'd go for in FPL. Obviously, Gabriel's got his benefits for Sky with them, with tiering, and frequently picks up passing and tackle tiers. But for FPL, yeah, if you want that option and you may be looking to get an Arsenal asset in, Bellerin, for me, is the one that you should be going for.
Yeah, he's someone I'm looking at if I am taking out Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, well, there you go. I think, yeah, the two most impressive players for me were Gabriel and Partey. I thought he's been brilliant since he's come in for Arsenal. Seems to solidify that kind of midfield role a little bit better. And not only does he win the tackle, but he can place a pass. And I think that's what they've been lacking, you know, the kind of link up between defence to attack. They've always, you know, had that, you know, Aubameyang, obviously Saka's looking pretty good and playing where he's playing. But they kind of missed that link. And now, I think Partey could potentially solve a lot of headaches.
Ah, good news for them. The party party.
All right, we'll move on after that. Spurs 2, Brighton 1. And there was a lot to talk about in this game. Primarily, I think, some decisions.
Yeah, the team selection. No Ryan, no Mope. Kind of shook everyone, didn't it, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Apparently, it's down to his ego for Mope.
Yeah, there's all sorts coming out about Mope, and I'm not quite sure what to believe and what to read at the moment. And I mean, if it is down to his ego and things that have gone on behind the scenes, then I'm definitely getting rid of Sky, because I don't think that gets solved within a week. But at least we have the benefit in the Sky game of seeing the team sheet for that one. So, you know, it's not such a problem with that. But for FPL, if anybody's got him, that's a real worry. And then obviously we had Potter come out and say that he was resting Matt Ryan because of, you know, the amount of games that he's played. And
goalkeeper.
Exactly. And then Sanchez has attributes that, you know, would work. But something's going on. It really is, because you don't drop Matt Ryan for a brand new goalkeeper against Spurs. So yes. I don't think all is well at Brighton at all. And I don't think we're being told the full story from Potter. In his interviews and stuff, he kind of avoided some of the questions. So when managers start to do that, I think there's things going on behind the scenes that they don't particularly want us to know.
I think so. I'm not going anywhere near Brighton, to be honest.
No, it's a real problem. But for Spurs, obviously, Kane got his goal. Arguably, for me, never a pen. Like, I actually genuinely think it's a foul on Lallana rather than a foul on Kane, because Kane looks to do this quite a lot in games, and strikers, you know, of Kane, Andy Carroll, for instance, their kind of stature, they look to push back on a player and, you know, get that kind of that touch. And yeah, the way Kane jumps, I genuinely think he's fouled Lallana there. Lallana's stupid for going for it, but it's a foul.
Yeah, it's dangerous what Kane does. He sort of backs into them just as they're jumping players. He tends to do it quite a lot. In the rugby, it's actually like illegal to do that.
It is, yeah, it is. But for football, you know, apparently players can still consistently win pens. Whereas you see Andy Carroll doing it, and Andy Carroll gets booked for it. But then Kane goes and does it and wins himself a penalty. And I don't think the officials bought themselves any favours in this game, because then we had the ridiculous VAR controversy where, you know, Brighton get their goal with Lamptey. Højbjerg goes down, looks as if he was fouled, obviously, from the naked eye and from the images originally. We then see it called back, and VAR is then saying, oh, well, you know, we recommend you go look at the screen. And, you know, 99% of the time, we all know what that means. That means that the ref's going to overturn his decision. But I genuinely think his ego got the better of him, because he's looking at the screen to try and find that minuscule detail to back his own decision. And then he goes and basically says to Kane, after he said, no, it's a goal, that he's got this much, you know, an inkling of a touch on the ball. Does he fuck? It's a foul.
When I was watching it back, it did look like it got a very minute touch, but obviously, as the game's supposed to be played, it's not really a decision that you judge like that. I think it is a foul.
Yeah, 100% it's a foul. I mean, how that decision has not been overturned after going to the screen, and clearly everybody in the VAR room is like, oh, well, you know, you've made a mistake here, mate. Go and have a look at it and then change your mind. And he's just gone, nah, fuck you guys. I'm sticking to what I've done and I'm going to prove it. So, yeah, it was questionable. But then, obviously, Bale came on, saved the day.
Yeah, he certainly did. Wouldn't be jumping on him just yet, but shows what he can do.
Yep, sure does. But I think for Spurs, they've probably got a couple of fixtures that we can continue to target. West Brom, you know, is the big one this weekend. Most people, I think, are going to be captaining or even triple captaining Kane or Son in this game after West Brom's recent performances. So I think, yeah, after that, they've got Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Palace and then Liverpool. So from then, if you've got two, you could always lose one.
Yeah, that's a fair shout.
Right, let's jump on to yesterday's games then. And Fulham 2, West Brom 0.
Yeah, nice to see a Fulham win. Don't mind Fulham. Two assists for Mitrovic, obviously. I think Mitrovic owners, if they're still about, being rewarded there.
Yeah. I don't think, well, you'd think that there aren't many left, but there's still 8.3%, despite the fact that it is limited returns and consistently dropping in price. But yeah, he got his two assists, deserved as well. Absolute screamer for Fulham's second goal. Don't think any keeper is saving that. And the angle that the TV had it on as well, it just, oh, top standard. It was unbelievable. But West Brom, woeful. I don't think there's much else to say about West Brom at the moment.
If they're playing that well against Fulham, then I'm worried.
Yeah, very much so. I've got Johnston, and I was annoyed that he didn't get that extra save to then get his save point. But other than that, I wouldn't be touching West Brom assets. I know a lot of people had gambled on maybe Dean Garner and Pereira to start the season, but if you've got them, I'd be moving them on, because there are far better assets at those prices than there are West Brom assets at the moment.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, and then last game of the weekend, and I think a surprise for many was Leeds 1, Leicester 4.
Yeah, I didn't really see it coming. I think I was expecting a more kind of 2-1 to either side scenario. But yeah, great performance from Leicester. That Under seems to keep doing the business off the bench.
He does. He really does. Another lovely, lovely assist for Vardy.
Yeah, I think he's certainly gone under the radar.
Fucking hell.
With an accidental partridge there. I just couldn't resist making that horrendous joke. But yeah, I think Harvey Barnes owners have been rewarded in this game. I think another one, like I mentioned earlier, that you've just got to hold out, a bit like James Ward-Prowse, like the returns will come even though you're frustrated after two or three blanks.
Yeah. No, agreed. Vardy and Barnes look particularly up for it in this game. So Vardy got his goal and two assists, and coming back from his injury, I think maybe he's one to target, given Leicester's fixtures are another one of those teams that turn. After Wolves, Liverpool, they then play Fulham, Sheffield United and Brighton. Already owned by almost 20% of the game, I expect that to rise with Vardy coming up soon.
Oh, I agree, certainly. Would you also say that Dallas is actually becoming more of a appealing option in FPL as well as Sky FF?
Yeah, I think Dallas is the one that seems to be getting the returns at the moment. Obviously, a lot of us are on Ayling or Dallas, to be fair. But yeah, I think if you've not got either of them and you want to get one, I would probably say Dallas. And like you said, he's been the better option in Sky, but I genuinely think he's maybe the better option for FPL at the moment.
I think so. I think I went Ayling at the start of the season, but had I had a time machine, I would have gone for Dallas. Dallas seems to be the better threat going forward. I thought Ayling would get more assists than he has.
Yeah, I mean, it might turn. We never know. But for now, Dallas just seems to be the one that's picking up those returns. And Bamford arguably should have got a return 34, 35 seconds, I think it was, before Leicester's opener. So he headed it straight into Schmeichel's hands, and from then Leicester went on the counter and then got their goal. But yeah, Leeds, I think, just struggled to get going, really. Perhaps, you know, Leicester kind of sussed them out a little bit and played into Leicester's hands, obviously, with the counter-attacks that they enjoy playing anyway in the pace that they've got up top. As a Leicester fan, I don't think I'd be too worried at the moment. You know, they've got the points that they've got on the board at the moment, and then they do play, you know, Palace, Everton, West Ham, Newcastle in the next six games. So they should still be picking up points in those.
Oh, yeah, I think they will.
Right, well, I think that's the summary of the game week. Should we talk about our FPL teams then, mate?
Yeah, so here is my FPL team. 50 points. not the best week for me. It was a green until Monday, but I had no players in Monday night's games. Martinez obviously disappointing for me, but I got that Ings return. Captaincy on Salah, which I'm very happy about, as it was on Son most of the week, and I just switched it to Salah.
You did, yeah.
That decision paid off. I'd have been a lot worse off if I stayed on Son. Happy with Kilman, and no real points left on the bench this week, so that's a positive I'm taking.
Yeah, I thought about you towards the end of the week, because I know on Friday, I think we were discussing Sky choices and captaincies and all that, you know, just between the two of us privately. And you did mention that Son had been your captain throughout the week, but you were edging towards Salah. And no doubt you're glad that you went that way.
Certainly am.
My team, on the other hand, I got 52 points. So two more than you. Catching you slowly, mate. Slowly but surely. But yeah, like yourself, I was on a green arrow until Leicester's performance, and obviously not owning any Leicester assets. Vardy and Barnes doing the business. I then saw, I think it was a 100k drop, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things isn't a lot, but another frustrating week, really. Defensively, I managed to get 4 points from, you know, my back three and a keeper, so that was a bit frustrating. Podence obviously got me 8 points, which was all credit to him. Salah captaincy, it was nice to actually get a captaincy return. And then my front three delivered in Werner, Kane and DCL. All getting returns. So that's kind of where the bulk of my points came from.
Very similar team to mine, to be honest, like in terms of returns, the front three returning and the rest of the points sort of spread out.
Exactly. Are you thinking of making any moves this week in FPL?
Yes.
Care to share?
2 free transfers. Alexander-Arnold and McGinn is what I'm thinking. Out, and then upgrading McGinn and downgrading Alexander-Arnold. That's the general thing. And then holding Ings. That's okay. Probably the way I'm going to be going.
Nice. Yeah, I've also got 2 free transfers, but I'm not quite sure what to do with them, because I was set on taking Foden out and upgrading him. But the frustration is, I guess I'll know after the Champions League. If he plays 90 minutes in that, then perhaps he doesn't start again at the weekend. But if he does play this weekend, I think he could genuinely get a return. So, you know, I know it's against Liverpool, but we could see him playing in that kind of false nine position at the weekend. So that's one of the reasons why I might hold.
Who could do. I mean, I'd be too frustrated to own him, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the only reason I'm not is because of his price. It's 6.6 million is a Man City asset who could get you a goal every couple of games. I think I'm happy with it for now, but I may make one transfer and then look to have 2 free transfers after the international break. That's what I'm thinking at the moment.
Special.
Right, let's move on to then Sky and a game that we both did particularly well with one team.
Yes, we did.
For this, I, as you can probably see on the screen for those YouTube viewers, I got 123 points in my A-team with a now overall rank of 1,723. And then in my B-team, I got 93 points. And ironically, that's the team that's still in the cup and continues to be in the cup, which I was quite pleased with. But captaincy returns were the big point for this score. Obviously, I got captaincy returns from Patricio, Barnes, Kane, and then obviously I've got KDB there, Diaz with his 10, Ings, obviously, with his injury, still got 7, DCL picked up shot tiers and managed to get 9 points. So the tiering this week in captaincies hasn't really, really helped for me. The frustration is the transfers that we've had to use, given recent injuries. Obviously, Pulisic, Antonio, Ings might be an issue for this week. But other than that, I think, yeah, I'm really enjoying Sky and continue to do quite well at the moment. How about you, mate?
So here's my Sky team. Great. Just 1 point behind your best team. 1-2-2. Now up to 2.4K. Returns from Kane, Barnes, Grealish, Zouma, Boly, Dallas. I brought in Zouma, Boly, and Kearney in this team. Zouma and Bolly both paying off instantly. Clean sheet, Bolly, and captaincy, which I wouldn't have had because I only had Sice. So I'm very glad I made that move. Zouma coming in as well, getting the goal, getting the clean sheet, getting the man of the match.
I mean, 17
points. 17 points. Let's have a look at the worst of team. That's the one you want to see, isn't it? So a minus one for Martinez. No points for Rodriguez. Obviously, I did think about taking him out, but I think it's worth holding for his fixtures he's got.
Agreed.
And yeah, that's that team. That's up to the dizzy heights of 32k now.
There's quite a discrepancy between your two teams, isn't there? But I think primarily your focus is probably going to be on continue to keep your what is your B team, but now probably your best team up in those ranks. But you're doing well, mate. Doing well.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it as well.
No, 100%. Right, just a quick note on Champman before we get to the questions. For those that follow us, you'll have seen that we've started the community team. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the decisions that you guys make, as particularly as it gets down to the nitty-gritty, you know, the kind of either bench fodder or those midfield slots that we're looking to fill at, you know, 7-8 million. But the first two players that you guys have picked in Van Nistelrooy and Hart being the two most expensive options in the two polls, budget's going to be depleted quite quickly, guys. So we'll look to try and get you some more polls out in the next few days, and then obviously have the team set probably by early next week, so then we can do a poll on captaincy. But yeah, that's just a quick update on Champman. And let's get on to the questions, mate, because we have quite a few this week. Question in from FPL Thomas. The year is 2023. Southampton have made the FA Cup final and Portsmouth have made the Champions League final. Both teams win or both teams lose? Discuss. Well, 100% both teams lose.
Yeah, it's an easy one for us. Both teams lose. We cannot have Pompey winning the Champions League.
No.
And if had it been the Premier League, it would have been a harder question. But since this is the FA Cup, which we've already won, no chance.
No, can't have Portsmouth winning the Champions League. They've forever allowed that over us. So, yeah, there's your answer. No. Right, we've got question two from FPL Escapades. So, I missed the first season of Champman, sadly. So, we would love to know your thoughts on how we should approach this season as a newbie and how it's different from FPL when it comes to targeting players and team. Well, mate, Champman is very different in terms of its unpredictability. We've got issues with injuries, blank game weeks, and then the infamous Rep 12 games, which as a newbie will very quickly become common themes that you'll probably get used to. I'd strongly recommend as a newcomer watching Luke's streams from both the Fantasy Champman account and his own platform, because he runs through the game really well, analysing who, you know, he thinks will be potential starters, kind of formations. And then the two streams that they've done through the official Champman channel, I'd recommend watching, because it runs through current injuries, performances in pre-season. And then you also get the chit-chat between those that are kind of taking part in the stream. So for me, that's what I'd go for. And if there's one little hint, very rarely do you see an away team keep a clean sheet. So that's maybe something to worth thinking about.
Yeah, I agree with Luke's streams being good. I've seen a couple of them. I think there's some good insight there as a fellow newbie. So if you haven't already, check those out.
Yep. Got a question in from Steve Bird. Hello, mate. What have been your favourite and least favourite seasons in your time supporting Southampton? Well, for me, the best season has to be the 2015-2016 season. And I think you might agree, mate, going to Inter Milan away was one hell of a weekend. And obviously we made it a really long weekend. We enjoyed Milan together. The fact that we had European football under the lights at St. Mary's was incredible, despite how short-lived it was. And still annoys me that we didn't get out of that group. But it was incredible. The worst season for me was probably the second season that I attended St. Mary's after moving to Southampton from Scotland. And that was 04-05, watching Saints lose 2-1 in the last game of the season to Man United and getting relegated. It was gutting. How about you?
Agreed. The best was 2015-2016. What a great team we had. And it was brilliant to go to Inter Milan away. The San Siro, obviously. Beautiful stadium, a beautiful city. And we still did well in the league despite the European campaign. The worst season for me has to be the Championship season. We went down to League One. We went down with, I think, Norwich and Charlton. And it was a long time coming because we were quite poor around sort of 07, 08, 08, 09 in the Championship. And we eventually did go down. And obviously, because we went down anyway, that 10-point penalty rolled over to our first season in League One. Yeah, bad times for the club. But after that, we were a bit like the Phoenix and rose from the ashes.
Exactly, exactly, mate. Got a question in from FPL Dronach. Hello, lads. In Champman, I would love to know who you think will win the league and the three teams for relegation. Also, who do you think will get Golden Boot and top assists? Cheers. For me, I think Man United will win it again. I don't really think there'll be another team, you know, Leeds, Arsenal potentially, but no, I think it'll be United season. And my three relegation candidates are Millwall, Watford, and surprisingly Charlton. But from looking at the sim data that obviously Luke has produced from the Champman guys, I think they've run 10 sims. They seem to concede a lot. So those are my three relegation candidates. I think Van Nistelrooy will probably get the Golden Boot this season. And I'd really like to see Veron have a good season. And hopefully maybe he could pick up top assists.
Yeah, for me, also Man United. The three to go down, I'm thinking also Millwall, Watford, and maybe Charlton. I mean, I'm putting Powell in the team, so I like to think they'll do a bit better, but I'll go with those three. Golden Boot, Ruud van Nistelrooy. I think it's aligned with Man U winning the league, really. I think he'll get the Golden Boot. And assists, I've gone for Beckham as opposed to Veron. I'll take that with a pinch of salt, as I am a newbie to the game.
I think that's a fair shout, to be fair, mate. Fair shout. Question in from FPL Zombie. So, question for Sky FF. With West Ham's decent fixtures, who out of their midfield and striker assets would you be looking at in Antonio's absence? Home to Fulham this weekend. For me, I honestly don't like West Ham's assets without Antonio. But if I really had to choose, I'd probably say Suchek, because I think he's due a goal. And obviously, like you've said, their upcoming fixtures, he could potentially get that against Fulham this weekend.
Agreed. Without Antonio, I don't really like them as an option, to be honest. But I'd go Bowen personally.
Yep, no, that's fair. Another one in from FPL Locksmith. Who are the budget season keepers for the season in Champman? Well, thanks for using our name, mate. it's tough, as we know, in Champman, because injuries, I think, ruin that season keeper status, to be fair. For me, I'd probably say Serrani would be a good option as goalkeeper. Defensively, probably Emerson Thome. I still think he's an absolute steal at his price. And Jerry Taggart for Leicester. I think it's probably two really good budget defensive options. Budget-wise in midfield, I think it's quite difficult, but maybe Petkov, given he's on pens. And Biscan might be a good punt for Liverpool. Forward-wise, I'd love to see Samba get a place in that Millwall lineup regularly, but I can't see it happening. At 4.5 million, if we do see it and Millwall get injuries, then he's got to go straight in. But cheap-wise, maybe Kyle Court, Wanchope, I think are both quite good options, obviously, for Newcastle and Man City.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I agree with Kyle Court. If you're not going Shearer, then Court's a good option to go for. The other options I also agree with. I'll be able to delve into the data a little bit more and give you what the lineup that I'm going with on next week's pod.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that, mate. Definitely, because hopefully by then I might have sorted my own bloody draft. Question from FPL Dempsey. Sky question. With fixture swings for a few teams in the next few games, how do you plan to attack it and which players are you specifically targeting? Well, obviously, we've spoken about it a little bit during the pod, but Leicester, Liverpool and Man City stand out to me in terms of fixture swings. De Bruyne, I think, will be my Man City coverage. I may look to bring in Sterling, but for now, I think De Bruyne can provide that coverage, particularly with captaincies. I'll be looking to either get either of Salah or Mane back. Obviously, taking them out for Ings potentially hasn't paid off because Ings might miss this Friday. And then I might look to bring in Vardy for either Son or Kane, depending on what way I go. I've obviously got Barnes, but I think Vardy might be the better option.
I'm happy with Son and Kane for now. Until the fixture runs are announced, I'm not really going to think about it too much. As I see, I think it's not worth it, but I'll let you know my thoughts as soon as they announce it.
Yep. Question in from Rob Reed, Sky FF. With having no players playing this Friday and Danny Ings highly unlikely to play, who do you recommend getting in for captaincy? I don't really think it's worth the transfer if Ings isn't fit and you already have him, because, you know, he probably will be back for the international break. But if you have saved enough transfers, then maybe bringing in someone like Prowse or Wilson, given they're both on form, might be good options for this Friday's captaincy.
For me, I'd agree with that, to be honest. But if you do think Saints are going to keep a clean sheet, then I'd go Vestergaard. And if you think Newcastle are going to perform well again, I'd just go Wilson and Captain Wilson.
Yep. And then final question, again, in from Rob Reed. Chapman FPL, is it a viable strategy to have three premium strikers? Poof. RVN, Viduka and Shearer at the expense of the rest of the team. Those three names, mate, I think you'll struggle to have a reasonable 11, let alone a playing bench if you wanted to go gung-ho on all three of them. But two is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, agreed. Two for me. I think all three would completely ruin the rest of your team. And I don't think that the rest of your team would have enough to carry you through over more balanced teams.
No, agreed. Well, I think that brings to the end this episode. Obviously, episode 13, unlucky for some. I know we've got the news of obviously this lockdown. And like we've said on Twitter, you know, if anybody wants to get in touch and if they're feeling down, our DMs are always open. We're more than happy to chat things through, whether it be football-wise or personal-wise. The priority is that we all keep safe. And obviously for the next month, maybe even longer, we're going to have to, and we'll have to keep each other going, which I think this pod for the two of us will keep us going. But obviously as a community, it's important that we stick together.
Yeah, no, I agreed with that. Stay home, save points.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, James, and I will speak to you soon.
Yeah, have a good one. See ya.
Cheers, mate. Bye.